Radio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
From the 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. hour, we will only use the words ass, damn, hell, and
breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling with your host, Tim Stein.
The name's Bond. James Bond.
Mace.
Sorry about that. I tuned out there for a moment.
Omega.
Do you expect me to talk?
No, Mr. Bond. I expect you to die.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Utter one more syllable and I'll have you killed.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a.
Joe. I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ. And you're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
That kid, you kid, that! The kid!
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Welcome to Injury Week.
Injury Week is a good way to put it.
Jeez.
Apparently people have been playing, have been partying too hard.
Apparently. Well, whatever is making them get injured, be it, you know, partying too hard, botch spots, or not having a kid that can take out the garbage for them...
You gotta train them properly. Come on,
yeah.
Now.
Apex Predator, my ass. We've got a lot to talk about all of a sudden this week, so we're gonna get right into it. I am the Omega, the be all end all of our little network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to leave the show. I've just been injured.
Oh, son of a. What'd you do?
I picked up a pencil. I blew my back out. That's it. Oh. I'm done.
Wait.
Yeah, it's 12 months. I'm on the injury list.
Wait. People use pencils still?
Yeah, when they do these things called drawings.
Oh. I thought it was all digital now.
Yeah, if you got like the money for it, which I don't. I'm still a poor person. I can't even get health insurance. That's why I'm out for 12 months.
Ooh, pencil. Ooh.
That is too bad. And of course, at the head of the table, Mr. Tim Stein, are you injured this month? Or
yeah, the only problem is I've got free health care, so I can't miss any time.
Ooh.
Shut up, Canada. Oh, well, what can you do? What can you do? Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's me, your host, the, I guess you can call me, add the title author, because I finished writing a book and it's actually all printed up and looks pretty and everything.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Stein made a book.
Well, not just made a book, I wrote it too.
You wrote a book, yes.
I wrote it and then I made it. I'm printing it out on my printer and putting it together all by myself.
Look at him. He's, look at Tim doing arts and crafts. Isn't he awesome?
Hey, it's not as easy as it looks.
I know. I've seen the pictures.
Yeah, you've assembled half of them.
No, I meant the pictures of you building your contraption.
Hey, you know what? That was innovative, all right?
I've seen the sketches. I've seen sketches turn into real-life things.
And why are you laughing at that? This is an awesome goddamn thing. And you know what? It works, so shut up.
Well, I feel like crap, so I'm laughing at anything. So move
on. What? Why do you feel like crap?
Because I just feel like crap.
Oh, so you're on the injured reserve list as well.
Yes. Legitimate. I don't feel well, so let's get on with the show, shall we?
Are you sick?
Yes, I am.
What's wrong? Do you got the Tommy flu?
No, head cold. Sucks.
Head cold.
Yeah.
Great. Well, he's got a head case. Look at that.
Is this a bad time to mention I'll be out next week?
Yeah, we kind of already knew that, but, the listeners didn't, but now
well,
they
just,
do.
Yeah, just a quick reminder. I'm not going to be here. I've got other things going on that I'm going to have attention toward.
He's going to be digging another hole.
No deficit?
Oh, no.
You snickered at something I said. What the hell? You are sick. You are buggered up. You are on the shelf.
I'll be digging myself a enormous financial deficit, actually, so yeah.
Okay, what damn toys are you buying next week?
It's not that I'm buying toys, it's that I'm going to have a friend down from Arizona, and we are going to spend a good portion of Monday touring around every geek shop in the South Florida area we can find.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's one shop that we found somewhere around Fort Lauderdale that's kind of looks like the dealer room at one of my big anime conventions, except it's a store I could have gone to anytime.
Uh-huh.
And I'm expecting to go broke there.
Well, then take extra money.
I'm taking everything I can fit. I'm going to go broke.
Or take less money so you don't buy as much, which is a lot harder to do in today's electronical age.
Yeah, a little tricky.
With debit cards and such. You guys do debit down in the States, don't you?
Yeah, we just got it. It's a crazy new thing here.
Okay, because you didn't have it for the longest time compared to us. Canada has tried to do everything in its power since 1990 to eliminate physical money.
Okay.
And they're getting closer. I mean, they got rid of the penny just last year.
Yeah, you turned all your money plastic. I hear of this.
Yeah, the stuff that we still have. Oh, God. You know, that's the absolute stupidity, too. You know, when this plastic money first came out, some genius decided to see how durable it was, so they put it on the dashboard of a car in the middle of the summer with the sun beating down and say, oh, look, the sun actually stretches the money out. And I couldn't help but think, what dumbass is going to do that with money? Just, like, lay it on the dashboard of a car. Yeah.
Okay, so wrestling show.
You can't figure that one out either. So.
No, all I'm coming up with is bad stretch your dollar jokes I don't want to make. Go. Just move past this.
All right. Well, we wouldn't want to absolutely warp your brain trying not to spill out these dumb jokes that you are dying not to tell. So let's just jump into, a wrestling show, talk about stuff. We could start with Win and Fail, do something different, and go to Omega.
No.
Still searching the interwebs, are you?
No. Here's the problem. I didn't see any wrestling this week.
Oh!
I literally have no basis to give you any kind of answer.
You have no wins and no fails.
I completely missed Raw this week, and wow. I could not be bothered to go find it.
My goodness. Okay. Mace, what is your win for the week?
Yep.
That's a good start.
It was one of those, seriously, you had to scrape the bottom of the barrel to find something to enjoy this week. That being said, the end to the Dean Ambrose-Kevin Owens match on SmackDown. Kevin Owens doing a Eddie Guerrero-type maneuver and taking a kick to the gut and then making it look like he got kicked in the groin so Dean Ambrose would get disqualified in the match. Basically, good old heel tactics.
Okay.
Creative heel tactics.
I'm somewhat upset now.
Because I stole yours?
That was one of my potentials that I was going to wind up probably going with. Because it was absolutely brilliant.
like you said. Bottom of the barrel scraping.
Yeah.
I watched SmackDown, for fuck's sake.
You must not have had much to do last week.
While waiting for this goddamn show to begin.
There you go. Yeah, no, that was absolutely brilliant. A little bit, yeah, it just kind of brought back shades of Eddie Guerrero. Really. For me. When Eddie used to, you know, like grab the chair and throw it at his opponent and then lie down. It was a similar idea, but, you know, great psychology. It's just he got caught afterwards. When they showed the replay on the Jumbotron, the little Nate, you know, saw that, the referee.
Too late, it was over.
Yeah, but he got busted, but after
that. Kofi doing that with the trombone a couple of weeks back. It's good to see some actual, like, heelish tactics being used by the heels again.
As long as it's not, you know, the same kind of idea all the time. I mean, if they're going to do heel stuff, yeah, sure, I understand. You're going to dig into what worked before. Just make sure that you're not all digging into the same setup. And the same thing all the time. Vary it. That's all. Yeah, you know, that's a good win. I guess I'll pick the traditional Survivor Series elimination match from Raw. New Day, Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns, the Usos, Ryback, and Dean Ambrose. That was an entertaining, and it had some good back and forth with a disqualification finish to it, and it's, you know, just your standard fare that they do this time every year to get everybody ready for Survivor Series, but it was a good match. That would be my win for the week.
Good for you.
Yeah. Well, do you have a new microphone?
I'm using a different one, yes.
I can tell because the quality and the timbre of your vocal ministrations is slightly different. In a good way, not in a bad way. I just thought I'd point that out. What's your fail for the week?
The fact that I was scraping the bottom of the barrel to find something for a win.
Judges
say, who cares, because it moves the show on. Let's go.
There you go. Yeah, okay, we'll accept it.
It's a hot day. I'm not in a good mood. Let's just get the show over and done with, please.
Oh, that's right. It's November in Australia. Shit. Not a whole hell of a lot memorable one way or the other. My fail for the week is just the record low viewership for WWE Raw. Their numbers just seem to keep dropping every goddamn week, and it seems to be getting worse and worse. You know, with WWE having its network, is that really that big a deal nowadays compared to, say, 15 years ago when there was, you know, a lot fewer things to watch on TV? Are they just a victim of too much choice?
Well, it's still a problem with the network because they still rely on a lot of TV ad revenue. They just had a thing where WWE and USA Network went out and like aggressively went after a lot of new ad partners. So that's something they still count on that business end. And, you know, the network, yeah, it makes some money. It doesn't make them, you know, network television good ratings money, but yeah. Money.
Yeah, true. True, but how many subscribers do they have now as the latest report? Does anybody
know? Like 1.3 million, somewhere in around.
So if you figure 1.3 million times 10, so they're bringing in like $13 million a month, roughly. Probably a little bit more once you factor in foreign currency and foreign subscriptions and the exchange rates. So let's just be generous and round it to $15 million a month. That's not too bad. Actually, when you stop and you think about it. But at the same time, like you're saying, they still have to depend on ad revenue from the TV. It's not just ad revenue, you know, it's advertising the network to people who don't have it yet who are watching television. It's all the different WWE related products, and I'm talking about merchandise here, that they do advertise on TV that you don't get that much advertising of on the network itself. So, that's a fail. People are turning away from WWE, I guess. At least Raw, they're starting to tune it out. 3 hours of Raw on Monday night, and then you've got Superstars, Main Event, NXT, SmackDown, all of this different programming that you can get on different, you know, different ways of watching it. Has WWE finally oversaturated their corner of the market, which would be the market?
Yeah, to say the least. I said this when the network came out. Yeah, I mean, it sounds good, but at the same time, it's the same thing over and over again. It's pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Especially when you're not really telling any kind of compelling stories right now, there's not a whole lot of drive to watch that much wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, I talk to people who are just consider themselves casual wrestling fans. You know, all they do is, you know, they have the network to watch pay-per-views, and they just go from pay-per-view to pay-per-view, and they don't miss a thing.
Yeah.
Like, unless there's like some like major freak accident with like Seth or something, there's absolutely nothing worth, you know, keeping track of on the weekly shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how like hollow the storylines are. And even if you didn't watch, and even if something did happen, they're going to air a little video package at the end of the, you know, just before the match on pay-per-view to mm-hmm. let you know exactly how everything came around. And there's so little to tell, they can get what, in a, like a 2-minute video package, what took them a month of TV to explain.
Yeah.
So why tune into Raw?
Good point. And of course, with more people able to access pay-per-views without having to drop $50 a month, how many people are only watching because of the pay-per-views that are now able to only watch, you know, just watch the pay-per-views? They don't need to tune in the next, you know, like the following night's the post pay-per-view Raw to get an update on what happened if they weren't able to afford the $50. That particular month. They're just, you know, watching the pay-per-views exclusively now, and that's all they want to watch. I'm sure there's quite a few people doing that.
Well, it's also, you take a look at the quality of the product that's being put out at the moment. You look at Raw, it's 3 hours. It really doesn't need to be 3 hours, but it is 3 hours. Why? Because of ad revenue. Mm-hmm. But, you know, how many nights do you go, okay, who are they opening with this week? Roman? Either Roman Reigns or John Cena or Seth Rollins or The Authority. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be that 20-minute promo setting up the show at the start of every show.
Yeah.
It's just the only person that changes is the person that comes out first.
Yeah.
They set up the main event. The main event, probably something that's going to either give away something that they shouldn't be giving away something for free. You know, the top of your first hour is always going to be yet another promo. You might get you might get one or two Divas matches about midway through the show. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're putting out the same format with the same guys every single week, people are going to start turning away.
You can sort of set your clock to what they're doing by what it is, pretty much.
Yeah, it's like, you know, no one's out there and sort of engaging the audience. You know, even Bray Wyatt, for as, you know, over the top as he is, you see Bray Wyatt comes out, yep, fireflies, blah, 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 ramble for 20 minutes, drop to your knees, follow the buzzers, blah, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, there's no substance, there's no connection, there's no anything to draw us into why we should give a shit. You know, at the moment, Bray's just supposedly taken the souls of Kane and The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Well, what's
happening with that?
Yeah.
Where's the point where we're supposed to connect? There is none. You know, you get Roman Reigns out there going, believe that. What are we supposed to believe in, Roman? Because we sure as hell don't believe in you.
Yeah, there you go. A lot of people don't. No, some do. But I don't think there's enough that do. I'm not too keen on the thought of Roman Reigns holding that title. I'm really not. And I wasn't really bothered about it one way or the other until they gave him a microphone. One thing that your WWE World Heavyweight Champ has to do, if he doesn't have an advocate or a mouthpiece, he's got to be able to be convincing on the microphone. And I don't find Roman Reigns convincing on a mic.
Well, considering that we suddenly jumped into yet another segment, but okay.
Yeah. Well, no, we'll get there. We started broaching the subject, so I figured might as well.
But you look at the way, you know, look at things like The Walking Dead, for instance. You have so many different characters there with different personalities, and they all have their own story. At the same time, you're able to at least grasp with one of those characters, and you'll want to see their adventures.
Mm-hmm.
With wrestling, there has become that big divide between the audience and the characters that you're seeing in the ring that there is nobody that you really want to sort of get behind or grasp onto personality-wise. Because when you look over it, they don't have personality.
Mm-hmm.
Seth Rollins is a cowardly heel, just like 9/10 of the other heels on the roster.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns is the squeaky clean babyface, just like 9/10 of the other babyfaces on the roster.
Yeah.
You know, you have the New Day, which, surprisingly enough, are probably the closest thing to a personality in the whole goddamn product, because they went, fuck it, we're going to have fun.
There you go, and it's working for them. And there are days that I'm just not really happy with myself for digging what they're doing.
Well,
oh, shut up and embrace it.
Exactly.
Yeah, drink the Kool-Aid already.
pretty much. Come join us in the land of magic and unicorns.
There you go. Now you brought up, 3 hours of Raw, way too much, because all our 20 minutes of that 3 hours is talking. There are times when you watch Raw on DVR and you get rid of the commercials. 3 hours boils down to how much programming minus the commercials?
You knock out the commercials, you got probably about just a touch over 2 hours
like
once you take out the commercials. But the thing is, if you take out some of the more filler matches and segments you don't want to watch, you can watch Raw in under an hour.
Yeah.
And that's where I've said this so many times, and this guy has got it fucking right off, and I wish I could follow his example. Mr. Tito from Lot of Pain. He cut cable completely. He's doing everything via streaming.
Yeah.
And, of course, the only way for him to get his Raw fix is to watch it on Hulu.
Yeah.
Hulu has an hour and a half version of Raw.
Mm-hmm.
It cuts out the shit matches. It cuts out some promos you don't need to see.
Yeah.
And he said it is the best thing that he's ever done. Why? Because it takes out all the crap that makes this show feel like a grind for 3 hours every week.
Mm-hmm.
To cut down to that hour and a half, he is so happy that it's actually revitalized this guy who was, up until like a couple of months ago, was ready to go, you know what? I've been covering wrestling for over 25 years. Fuck the WWE, I'm done.
Yep.
Now the guy watches on Hulu, he gets his pay-per-views through the network, he couldn't be happier.
Now, more ad revenue aside, let's just pretend for a second that doesn't factor into it. Would the WWE benefit by backtracking and cutting Raw back to 2 hours?
Oh, God, yes.
Would they, or would it be a case of going backwards is not a good thing at this point in time? It's not going to help.
Okay. Here's the thing,
take it from someone on YouTube. One of the worst things you can do is post a video that's so long the number turns away viewers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I scroll through videos, I look at it, well, I just kind of want to see what is going on. I want the general gist of whatever is going on. And I see, it's a 2.5 hour commitment to get through.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I can go, even if it is something that could feasibly take that long, I can go find someone who's doing it in an hour and a half and still have half my day left.
Yeah.
When you see, oh, God, Raw's 3 hours, and the guys I actually like and might care about, I don't know when they're showing up. I got to stick around for the whole thing. If I'm a New Day mark, and I am, and they don't come on till the third hour, I got to stick through the first 2 hours of that just to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a daunting thing when that 2 hours is probably going to suck.
Now, there have been the occasional Raw shows where the entire 3 hours flies by, it's entertaining, and you want more. That has happened so very rarely. I think we comment whenever it happens, and I think the last time it happened, I was still living in my old place. I've been here where I'm living now. I've been here a year and a half. So it's been over a year and a half since we've had – about 2 years since we've had a 3-hour Raw that we were totally invested in for the entire 3 hours, at least us anyway.
And I think usually the barometer is the Raw after Mania.
Yeah, pretty much. But to give you an idea of the whole Hulu thing, right? This past week, here's what was cut out. Cesaro versus The Miz.
Yeah.
Alberto, which is Cesaro's first win in a long time.
Alberto Del Rio versus R-Truth, and the backstage segment with Jack Swagger as well, and all the highlight packages. That's what they cut out this week to make a 3-hour show an hour and a half.
Now, that is kind of weird with Del Rio, like, being a big star coming back and now starting up a Jack Swagger thing, which is kind of the obvious direction for that feud. That's weird to cut out.
Kind of it is, hey? I can understand the Cesaro, even though it's his first win in forever. But it was the Miz he was fighting.
Yeah, and that's what WWE's done is, like, well, Cesaro's still really popular, and when he finally gets a win on TV again, yeah, at this point, yeah, we don't care.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but so. I still say, like, the idea behind it, though, getting Raw down to a watchable, you know, 2 hours, hour and a half, whatever, is a great idea. As Omega said, you know, when you're producing stuff for YouTube, sometimes you look at how long a video is going to be, and you're like, screw that.
Yeah.
You know, for example, this is going to be the worst comparison I've ever done, considering myself, but when I'm reviewing games, I try to get them done with a maximum time of like 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Max. Now, some of the most big-time YouTube reviewers, like Angry Joe, does 30-plus minutes on the same review of the game. You know, he adds in skits and all this other shit. I look at his videos and go, why do I want to fucking sit through half an hour of a review when somebody can do it in under 5 minutes?
Well, I'll sit and watch something longer if it's entertaining, right? If somebody makes it entertaining enough, then fine. I don't mind the extra time because I'm being entertained and I'm not like, oh my God, already get on with it. Are you like that with anything at all?
I'm like that with a lot of things these days. I'm getting to the point where it's like, I don't want to have to sit here time and time again having my time wasted with frivolous bullshit that I don't need to see or hear.
Yeah.
I just want to get straight to the meat of the matter and be done with it.
Let's go already. So. But anyway, that's basically our run and fail expanded for this week because we're covering from Omega because he's just too lazy to watch it.
It's not that I'm too lazy.
I know. I was just teasing because it's funny. At least it is to me.
God, I think the last thing anyone can call me right now is fucking lazy.
No, you're the opposite. You're uber unlazy. And stop doing that because, well, first off, it makes the rest of us look bad. And secondly, you're going to burn yourself out. Quit making me look bad. I mean, quit burning yourself out.
Yeah, you're trying to make Kane Kittens look lazy.
Whoa. Hold the fuck up here.
Okay, something offensive was just said.
Okay, I took today off, motherfucker.
Can't say that for Kane Kittens, can you?
No, he's still at work. It's getting scary. He legitimately started thinking about sleeping at his job.
Yes, I have heard about this, and that's just not right.
Nope.
Just not right. And this kid is, like, not normal. That's all I can tell you. Not normal. And he's still there. He's just posted in the chat room. Honestly, he's still at work. My God, kid, take a week off. Holy cow. You're going to die before you're 40. Probably not.
At this rate, by the time he's 40, he can retire on vacation time alone.
Probably.
See, he'd never last here. We actually have it in our work laws that you have to take at least your proper 2 weeks holiday off every year.
Oh, yeah.
He would be forced to go on vacation.
Well, here in Canada, I was breaking the law back when I was a nightclub disc jockey. I was working 7 nights a week. And I did that for 3 months straight without taking a single day off. And for me, it wasn't work. It was because, you know, me playing music in a nightclub full of hot women who were very scantily dressed and jumping up and down on a dance floor. Do you blame me? Didn't think so.
That ain't work.
So technically, I was breaking the law, Canadian labor law. Because the boss has said to me, we can't find anybody who's good enough, substitute to fill in for you. And that, you know, made me feel good on a couple of levels, like, hey, I'm that awesome. Cool. But at the same time, yeah. So, Kane Kittens, take a fucking week off, jackass. So, hey, Billy Graham and the Boogeyman both signed Legends deals with the WWE. Billy Graham, I can understand. Right?
Yeah, only one of them's an actual legend.
Yeah.
Boogeyman?
The other guy ate worms.
Is that why he's a legend? didn't he lie about his age to become a tough enough contestant?
That's what I said like last night when this came up in our card game. This is the guy who got kicked off of Tough Enough because he lied about his age on his application. And not only now he's a fucking legend. Oh my god.
Yeah, we're playing fast and loose with the term legend in this regard.
Keep in mind, the only reason they sign Legends contracts is because they see possible merchandising with them. Like, okay, if we can bring back Boogeyman for, like, the occasional, like, web skit like they were doing, like they were pranking around WWE offices with him.
Yeah.
And, like market a shirt or, like, you know, like an action figure coming, like something like that.
Yeah,
no, it's a legal thing just so we can use your image, you know, in its entirety.
So instead of like giving them some kind of a separate bunch of money that they don't want to give them.
Well, yeah, instead of giving them something like, well, you know, if we're going to market like action figures and like, you know, if you're going to appear in like DVDs and shit like that, and we don't want to give you like royalties that could cost us like $30,000-$40,000 a year, we're going to give you like this little contract that says you're going to make $10,000 a year no matter what.
Yeah, there you go. And here you've got, you know, a strict, specific amount, and that's all. So I just still Boogeyman. Oh,
maybe they're opening their own line of breakable clocks.
Maybe they just want to sell.
Or maybe somebody told Vince that they finally run out of like 80s and 90s legends to put into the Hall of Fame.
Well, kind of. They sort of have, haven't they?
Quick, find whoever isn't actually a part of the company anymore. Sign them to a legend contract. Put them in the Hall of Fame. We need content.
Hey, wasn't what's his name here once? Who? That guy. What guy? You know. No. What are you talking about? Oh, forget it. Just sign them.
Yeah, just wait until they start pulling random guys off the street and going, you're in the WWE Hall of Fame.
There you go. Yeah, are you connected with the WWE? Well, yeah, you know, I know the Hart family. Okay, we're gonna sign a Legends contract with you. And next thing you know, yeah, I'm rich. Just feels like that sometimes that it's the way it's going. Yes, Tatanka signed as well. Oh, that reminds me. I actually worked with Tatanka's ex-wife last week. She is now a security guard here in Calgary. They call themselves loss prevention officers.
Hmm.
I just thought that was interesting. She walks around grocery stores disguised as a shopper, keeping her eyes on grubby-looking people that she thinks might steal shit.
Yep, I used to do that job once upon a time.
There you go. So, yeah, that's what she's doing now. Not that anybody knows who the hell she is or anything, but, yeah, that's about that for that. Jeez, you know, open up the injury list again. Put Nikki Bella on it.
Yeah, I think, yeah, we already had her on it.
Yeah. Exactly. What is this injury? I just heard rumors that she not taking...
It's very undefined, and they aren't even WWE is not even confirming it. But apparently, she's rehabbing like a bulging disc in her neck. Like you've seen her with like the inflating collar on.
Okay.
So apparently, she's been working like hurt for a long time now, like neck, back, lots of little things that she's working through.
Well, that sucks, I guess, that she's hurt. But I'm really not going to miss her that much.
I don't think anyone is.
I'm not saying that to be a dick. It's just I've never been a Nikki Bella fan. So anyway, I guess get better soon, Nikki. SmackDown is finally making the move to USA Network January 7th. This is going to see a bit of a bump in ratings, isn't it, compared to what they've been getting on Sci-Fi?
Hopefully.
But will it approach Raw's ratings?
No, because it's SmackDown.
Well, I was about to say it might if Raw keeps dropping.
It might actually get more viewers than Raw. That'd be scary.
Well, the one thing,
the thing is, it's not live. It's still pre-taped, so
it's Memorex.
It's not really going to be that great.
Yeah. Well, you know, the one thing that SmackDown does have going for it, it doesn't open with a 20-minute promo from anybody.
Not yet. Give it time.
Yeah. Wait till it goes to USA Network, and then it'll go live, and they'll have a 30-minute promo. Can you believe that taking out the garbage could put you on the shelf for up to 6 months?
Yep.
I said it last night. I said it last night in the cards. It's embarrassing when you're outperformed by Duke the Dumpster Drossy.
It's a shame that I'm laughing because I shouldn't because it's not funny. But screw that, it's funny.
God.
Oh, it's hilarious.
I thought it was bad when Orton blew his shoulder out doing his like little like fist slam into the mat thing before an RKO.
I was just thinking about that you know when the last time he hurt his shoulder.
That was stupid. That was stupid.
Has he actually ever had like you know surgery to correct any of this shit?
I would hope so at this point. I mean,
well then he should sue the doctor. If that's the case, he should sue the doctor.
You'd make a good American, Tim.
There you go. Well, you know, I'm only second generation Canadian. My grandparents came up from the States. You guys didn't know that, did you? Yeah. Jeez. Fox has apparently purchased the rights to a dramatic soap opera that takes place in the world of professional wrestling. It's called The Work. Have you guys heard about this?
Vaguely.
This was a rumor, like one-line tidbit on the internet, like, what was it, 6 or 7 months ago. I told Rock this, and then we never heard anything about it from there. So it's like, yeah, oh, okay, whatever. I guess it's not happening. But it looks like they're actually moving forward with it. Do you guys think that we might wind up with something along the line of the Wrestler, the movie?
No.
No.
Do you think we might wind up?
Because the Wrestler is really good. And this is being produced by Fox.
So you don't expect it to be any good?
Not really.
Has Fox ever put out anything that's not a cartoon that really is good? Aside from Married with Children.
I'm holding out a verdict on the Deadpool movie.
Okay, wait, yeah.
Ask me again after Deadpool comes out.
When does that come out?
February.
Okay, I know where I'm going to be in February.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to be at the movie theater on February, and please, dear God, don't let it suck.
Yeah, no, I'm going to be on the internet reading reviews from people who have gone to the movie and people who won't go see it because they think it's going to suck, so therefore it will suck. And then I'll go see it.
No. What you do is you keep tuned to wildtalkradio.com, where Omega and I will be reviewing the movie at some stage.
There you go. Took you guys long enough to plug the shit.
Hey, I just now found out we were doing it.
There you go. Well, you know what?
Marvel movie Omega. Of course, we're going to cover it at some point.
There you go.
Remember the great episode we had on Ant-Man?
Yeah, it was so small it disappeared off the internet.
Kaboom. I'm just going to wait to see the first two episodes. I never judge anything on the first episode. Or the pilot, whatever you want to call it.
I give it two chances,
like two episodes, before I decide.
This thing, I don't even want to look at it. It's going to be one of those things that's written by somebody who has next to no real ties with wrestling, from what I've had a look at. This Scott O'Connor guy that is writing it, I think he ghost wrote a Lesnar book or something.
Yeah.
And that's it, you know. I don't trust mainstream style media to portray wrestling accurately. I don't, you know, it's going to be this really, really badly done soap opera shit it's going to be like, you know, The Office based around wrestling, you know, how far can we separate it from the actual fact but still make it look good enough that the dumbasses that watch this shit will believe this is what happens in behind the scenes in wrestling?
The thing is, you're not going to get, you know, what wrestling fans know goes on behind the scenes. What you're going to get is what the main masses think is going on behind the scenes. So you're going to see a lot of main characters who backstab each other with the boss trying to get in good and get promoted to the world title. You're going to see, I guarantee you, one of the main characters is going to have a steroid problem.
Mm-hmm.
And like probably like a storyline about how they get around that or when they get caught and what they do after.
Yeah,
just like the stereotype crap you would expect out of
I'm really going to cross my fingers that they don't go in that direction, even though we all probably figure that they most likely will. I'm just going to keep my fingers crossed for that for the time being.
To be honest, I'm surprised Vince McMahon himself didn't go, hey, we want that idea for the network.
Too revealing, because even though the network completely throws kayfabe out the window.
It wasn't Vince's idea.
But the thing is, he's got the soap opera writer sitting there writing Raw already. Now he can finally get rid of actual wrestling and get his storylines done in the proper soap opera he's always wanted.
Oy vey.
Tell me I'm fucking wrong.
It's kind of hard to. That's the problem. Because, you know, you got more than a quarter of a point, and you know it. God damn it. So, what the hell?
Let's take a break.
I don't know. Everybody, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and talk about something we haven't talked about all night, and that'll be injuries in the WWE. You're listening to WTR. There you go. You're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live at the same time on TuneIn on your mobile device. Download the TuneIn app, and you can take us with you when you're on the go. We'll be back right after this.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gangbang or something.
Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird shit becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? Oh, I thought the people were going to be showing up at the party. Why are you Gundam style over here?
That's the horse you have, that's the horse
you have. Gundam style. Gundam
style. Oh, not the pelvic thrust. Did Mr. see me in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I know what it is.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah. This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. Wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Thursday nights, you need to experience The Rack. From wrestling news, discussions, and interviews with wrestling's biggest superstars, like Kane, Seth Rollins, Edge, and more. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, on RackRadioShow.com.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we've got you covered. you can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
What up, Mott?
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah, this is somebody doing a really bad impression of Macho Man Randy Savage telling you to snap in to WrestleTalk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Oh, yeah, dig it!
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not gonna sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axelmania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, and we got an offer you can't refuse. What? Actually,
I'm waiting for Big Sally Graziano and, you know, Nunzio to come back out, but, you know.
Yeah. Nothing personal, Sal. Strictly business. If you people have not seen The Godfather, you've got to see it. It's one of the all-time classic movies. Watch the damn thing. Anyway, I don't know why Rock decided to play the Godfather theme? Because it has absolutely no relevance with us talking about this big deal with Seth Rollins being injured.
It's called, I had a folder called Other, and I grabbed five songs from that folder, and they're the five songs we're playing today. It's the only reason the Godfather theme was played.
And it's not even the wrestling Godfather, ish.
No. I had no ideas for music. Hell, here's another folder. Let's pull music.
There you go. So, yeah, Seth Rollins botched a move against Kane at a house show last week.
He tripped and did a Kevin Nash.
He did a huge...
It wasn't a Kevin Nash because it wasn't a quad. Every single soft thing in his knee.
But his quad is the only thing that that actually escaped injury. He tore his right ACL, the MCL, and the medial meniscus.
In other words, he blew everything in his knee out.
That could be blown out. I mean,
this honestly is a career ender.
This definitely could be. They're saying he's out 6 to 9 months. I'm going to tell you right now, we might not see him until next October.
12 months plus if they want to be safe with him.
Yeah.
Because, seriously, like, that type of knee injury is, for most sports, like, hell, just one of those. Like, tearing your ACL for a game of football is a career ender.
No, it's not a career ender. It's 9 to 12 months, and you don't feel right for another year after that.
And our regular listener in the chat room that I discovered on the Twitter machine, who decided to start listening to us regularly, calls himself Chase Merriman, in the chat room, is quoting Del Wilkes saying it's 9 to 12 months. And, you know, the one thing that I can't wrap my brain around is all the grief I've been given over the 11 plus years I've been doing internet radio from people concerning Bret Hart, because I'm from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And, you know, he's a Bret Hart fan, blah, 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 blah. This guy, I swear to God, if he had a chance to sleep with Del Wilkes, he would.
He is obsessed with the Patriot.
Oh, no, this is worse than obsession. We're talking stalker level.
No, we know a stalker. I don't think he's there.
Okay. Point.
I mean, unless there's things we don't know, I'm just...
Well, follow along on his Twitter feed and read some of the shit that he writes concerning Del Wilkes. Then you'll start thinking, well, he's getting close to being a stalker. But, yeah, Chase, because we're picking on you, know that we like you being here. It's the only reason why we pick on you, so. But take a look at all of the injuries that have happened going all the way back to May. I guess, not including Daniel Bryan, because that happened in April. But
so it started in April then.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, I just saw the month in April. I was thinking, you know, Daniel Bryan getting hurt last year, coming back, getting hurt again. The coming back part just didn't factor into my thinking about that.
But. So since WrestleMania, the injuries were...
Alex Riley suffered a knee injury in May, and there's no timetable for him returning, which, you know, like, how can you miss him when you never saw him on TV?
What? He was Mr. Full of Rage down in NXT. Come on now.
Yeah, well, okay, yeah, Mr. Full of Rage in NXT. Daniel Bryan has been inactive due to concussion-related injury. And WWE is reluctant to reinstate him at the moment. He says that his doctors cleared him the whole bit, and WWE is still not pulling the trigger on bringing him back. And I think that they're gun shy. As of right now, yeah, the odds are really good. They'll have to clear him for light duty, as it were. Sticking with me, Goldust with his shoulder injury. He was supposed to be out from 2 to 4 months. He still hasn't come back.
He is scheduled for the December Madison Square Garden house show, apparently.
Yeah, so that's more than 4 months.
A little bit.
A little bit more. Hideo Itami suffered a shoulder injury in May, out 6 to 8 months.
Shoulder injuries in May, very popular.
Apparently. Look at Lana. She broke her wrist just back in September, and she's not a wrestler. But, you know, she hasn't been on TV. She's out 4 months. So, you know, we're not expected to see her back until January.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and lifting that engagement ring sure is heavy.
Well, that happened after the fact, but I'm sure it's not helping the healing process. And now Nikki Bella, we mentioned near the top of the show, she is suffering from a bulging disc. There's no timetable for her coming back. She could be gone till next summer. Randy Orton, well, we talked about him too with his 6 month recovery time for a dislocated shoulder.
And we'll probably take the trash out never again.
And my mother has always wondered why I was reluctant to take the garbage out. And the fact of the matter is I was afraid of dislocating my shoulder.
Uh-huh.
See, I wish I had that goddamn excuse when I was 15. So, yeah, and now Rusev with his second injury, he suffered a ruptured bicep. He's out for, we won't see him till next month. Apparently, you know, as early as probably the middle of December. Sami Zayn has a shoulder injury. Guess when he suffered that?
Tuesday.
Yeah, all the way back in May. And the recovery time was estimated anywhere from 6 to 8 months. Well, it's looking more like 8 to 12 months because we've passed 6 months here.
Yeah, he's due back, I think, at the beginning of the year.
You're hoping. They're hoping, probably.
They're hoping.
Yeah. Sting winds up sustaining a very serious neck injury in September. There's no timetable for his return. The odds are that we saw his last wrestling match.
Unless he, according to rumors, unless he's healthy enough, and he'll be part of the Team Undertaker at Survivor Series.
Yeah, what rumors?
You didn't hear that rumor?
I heard that, and the second I heard it, they could go, wow, we could call this team Cripple.
Wow. But, yeah, the rumor was, oh, Sting's healthy, he could be part of the Undertaker Kane team at Survivor Series. Okay.
Yeah, and then we've got Tyson Kidd, my good friend TJ Wilson. He's got a career-threatening spinal cord injury. He suffered a broken neck given to him in the form of a muscle buster by Samoa Joe. That's a sad thing. And, you know, like when that happened, the number one fear and worry for him was, you know, fuck coming back to wrestle. Is he ever going to be able to, you know, have a normal life? That, you know, that was the big thing. And that entire list that I just read out, that is the most serious injury of all of the people who are out injured. And I'm just hoping that that TJ gets better and doesn't have any long-term problems. I don't care if he ever wrestles again. That's definitely not my focus for him. But why are they having such a rash of injuries?
Gee, I wonder. Guys taking high risks, jumping over the top rope, doing moves that they shouldn't be doing, trying to wrestle a 30-minute match in a 5-minute time frame, trying to find some way to get a pop out of a crowd that is bored shitless every week.
Trying to find a way to get a pop out of a crowd that is used now to seeing real fighting in the form of UFC and WWE, hoping to retain, never mind attract new people, just retain the people that they have that split their money between WWE and UFC. And so they're trying to give it more realism. This is my theory, right?
Well, it's not even that. You take a look at what gets a pop out of the crowd today. It's dives over the top rope, dives through the ropes, dives on the tables, doing through tables, taking chair shots. It's basically everything that is going to do major damage to the body is what the crowd will react to. You don't have a 5-minute chain wrestling opener like you used to do with Rob Van Dam and Jerry Lynn, for example, that used to get the crowd going nuts because it was pure proper wrestling. Now they just want to see a car crash.
Yeah.
And I blame Jeff Hardy. He fucking started all this shit.
Well, it's not just Jeff Hardy, but he sure had a hand in it. You have to look at Edge and Christian for that as well. And the Dudley Boys. As a matter of fact, you could go all the way back to the hardcore wrestling of ECW. ECW was not mainstream wrestling when it was out. It was, like, for the hardcore fan. And then Vince brought that style of wrestling into the mainstream. I mean, it's well documented.
Yeah, it's just a shame that these guys have to do so much. Like, how often would you actually see Seth Rollins trying to do a sunset flip powerbomb out of the corner to put Kane through a table? You wouldn't see that on most shows. Nope. Because it's a stupid move. It is risky. It has a high chance of injury. You fuck up a little bit, and it's either Kane's going to get fucked up, or as what's happened with Seth, you blow your knee out.
Yeah.
You know, every time Dean Ambrose dives over the top rope, you know, there's a possible neck injury there, or he over-rotates, goes onto his shoulders, he could crack his back. If he goes all the way to his feet, he could blow his knees out again. Every time these guys do something big and exciting, they're taking their lives into their hands. And, you know, now we're missing so many people from the roster that the next question I know we're going to get is, who's going to get the title after Seth Rollins? You look at it and go, well, who's fucking healthy? Because it's not about talent, it's who's fucking healthy.
At some point,
you're going to have a world champion laid up in a bed who's taking a pinfall by somebody putting a hand over their chest or pulling the fucking plug on life support.
Now, how much, like, with these risky moves that these guys are doing to entertain the fans, how much of that blame can you lay at the doorstep of the fan? And how much of it can you lay at the doorstep of, say, you know, how much of it's Seth Rollins' own damn fault for trying to do more than he realistically should have done?
At least a 70-30 split. 70% okay. Audience, 30% Seth.
Yeah. Now with Tyson Kidd, that was just a freak mishap with the move that Samoa Joe has delivered for like well over a decade, and that was just a freak account, I think. Randy Orton, well, you know, that's Randy Orton.
Randy Orton. Now that's an actual freak account. Like, seriously, in a million years, you would never think anybody would be able to screw their shoulder up by picking up a bag of trash. Because if that was possible, the guys that go and pick up your trash every single week from the curb, they must be built to friggin', you know.
Oh, the health insurance for the trash man is enormous.
Yeah. Yeah, they must.
No one will cover them. It's such a risk. That's your hardest insurance sells is pro wrestlers, professional stuntmen, trash delivery.
Oh my God, trash man being ranked higher as far as being a dangerous job than firefighter or policeman. How sad.
Well, I've never seen a firefighter or a policeman try to pick up a bag of trash
and just look at their shoulder. All they ever do is get shot or burned to death. No big deal.
And you brush that off. It's nothing.
You walk it off. You get killed? Walk it off. Like Captain America said in Age of Ultron. So, damn. So that means that we're going to have a tournament at Survivor Series to crown a new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Who's going to be in the tournament? We know Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns will. Who else are you going to put into that tournament, guys?
Who cares? You put Roman Reigns in, that's it. Game over, done.
It doesn't matter. The title's going around his waist at Survivor Series no matter what, right?
Look, they could put The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Brock Lesnar, The Undertaker, fucking Vince McMahon himself, you know, bring back God for a one-off appearance. You know it's going to Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is just there for window decoration at this point.
Which is unfortunate because there's so many better scenarios than just passing it off on Reigns in the first place.
Oh, God, yes. But, you know, we're not going to get it.
So Seth being injured is going to have us see potentially an even earlier return of John Cena? Or
no.
The problem is apparently Cena has himself booked on another TV show over on Fox.
Ooh.
Completely independent of what Raw is doing.
Really? What's the TV show?
It's a bodybuilding thing.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah, that's why he's filming the reality show or something, and that's why he's taking time off.
Yeah, so it's not even a fact that, oh, well, I'll pay John a little bit more money and have him take a break, you know, sometime next year. Uh-uh. He's booked.
Well, then why don't we see a lot more Brock Lesnar between now and January?
Because
then you're just repeating the problem we're in now. The fact that nobody in WWE is pushed well enough or promoted well enough to take the place when something like this happens.
Well, not bringing Brock Lesnar in means that WWE has considered that, which is extremely out of character for them, just to point that out.
As it is, they probably negotiated so much money for Brock to work the dates he has now, there's probably no getting him to work anymore.
No.
Which they paid him extra for Hell in a Cell already, because that wasn't originally part of the deal.
He wasn't supposed to be at Hell in a Cell.
Nope, that was a last-minute change. So they paid him extra to do the Hell in a Cell match. Because the Brock and Taker were supposed to be Mania, then Vince changed his mind for Mania.
Okay. Well, how good of an idea would it potentially be to look at who you want to be the champion at the end of WrestleMania and then reverse book from there?
Well, typically that's what you would do in the first place.
Yeah, and if all accounts were to be believed, you were supposed to be getting Roman Reigns versus Triple H at WrestleMania, which means you'd be reverse air engineering back to Roman Reigns.
When did Roman Reigns and Triple H ever get put on the table?
Or was it supposed to be Seth Rollins?
It was Triple H and Seth Rollins. That's what they really wanted to do.
No, the plan is Triple H and The Rock. I don't know where Seth Rollins or anything.
No. One plan was Triple H and Seth Rollins. Then they extended the storyline for the, and then went straight and went back to Triple H and The Rock. We saw that tease last time Rock showed up. So like they've had plans, but it's been back and forth. We don't really know exactly what we want to do type plans.
Right. So, going back to Tim's question, if you guys are the ones booking it out, going back from WrestleMania, who's the guy at WrestleMania? Who's the champion going into Mania, basically?
Well, basically, we've established it'll be Reigns going into Mania. Who does he face?
But what if it's not Reigns? Just go off.
Oh, no, it's Reigns. Rock. There is no argument against this. I know you're trying to get debate going and shit. We all know it's Reigns.
Give
Omega
a credit. He's trying to get the discussion stirred up here.
No, because I know Omega has an opinion. Omega.
I genuinely don't think it'll be Reigns.
Okay.
Okay, going. Okay. At the very least, I don't think the storyline here is like. I don't think Reigns going into Mania with the title is the thing.
Okay.
I don't think that's the way to go about it. The thing you got going here, the whole point of this was it was Reigns climbing back to the championship against Rollins. Now if you just go and throw the title on him now, it kind of raises doubt on the entire thing. You know, why didn't he just like go after the title anytime he wanted it if it was that easy? I don't think he could thrust it directly onto him at this point because the story of building him up and getting the crowd behind him to take out Seth is gone.
Well, and then now, he's getting the title at Survivor Series.
Okay, so the whole deal here is they're trying to get Reigns over as a credible champion. Someone people wanted to see the belt on. Okay, let's make Seth like the weaseliest champion we can. Let's actually put Roman over and build him back up with other feuds, and then we'll have like the former Shield guys. So there's a history there, and there's like some kind of heat and momentum for them to actually build on to get the crowd behind Reigns for the match. It's designed to actually have like some crowd support for Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
If you throw the belt on him now, that's gone. Like to just win the belt out of nowhere, nothing. So here's the idea. Of course he's going to be in the tournament. You know, of course he's going to win his first match of the tournament. I'd take him out in the semifinals, and I'd take it out in like the most dick way you can think of. it's him and Sheamus. Let's say it's him and Sheamus. Sheamus throws him to the outside. Refs counting Roman out. Sheamus like grabs a chair from the other side. And when the ref turns around to throw the chair back out, Reigns is back up in the open, bro kick, back outside. Ref turns around, he's halfway through his count, and just counts Reigns out the rest of the way. Like, complete dick move to get him out of the tournament. Like, complete fluke that he lost.
And that would then set up him having a feud with Sheamus going after the tournament.
In the meantime, the finals would be Sheamus, and the one I would give the win to would be Ambrose. And you keep... Yeah.
Interesting.
Because... It's, well, because he has such crowd momentum behind him, because the audience really, really likes Ambrose right now.
Well, it's kind of stupid not to like him. The guy's good.
The guy's really good. And it makes for a good patch job right now to put the title on him. Not only is it doing something different, it gives the championship to a face for a little bit.
A clear face.
And it's, you know, it's a popular guy. Mm-hmm. So, like, you have support for this movement, and it's something new. And you still have this friendship between him and Roman. Legitimate friendship going on. Then you keep going. Because the easy thing would be to turn Ambrose heel to win the belt against Roman. I don't want a quick turn. I want a slow. I want the title to get to his head. Like, I want him to, like, slowly go dark on us. Not join the authority dark, but, like, very full of himself, very selfish, distancing himself from Roman, skips out of meeting him at the bar or doesn't show up for a tag match, shit like that. Until you build up to a feud where, you know, maybe like Roman's by the time Roman wins like the Royal Rumble, Dean's full on heel, but he's still trying to be Dean's friend through all of this. He doesn't want this match, but the title is doing things to his friend that has to stop. I almost want it to be like putting down Old Yeller, where I don't want to do this for the championship. I'm trying to save my friend, and this is how it has to end.
Dean Ambrose developing rabies.
Almost. Yeah, but you build that friendship into a feud, and not your typical feud. If Reigns wins the belt, I want it to be a tragedy because he was doing what was best for his friend.
He had to take the darkness away from his friend.
Where have we seen something similar to this previously already?
I swear it involves Cena. And it's a very familiar story, and frankly, I'm sitting here going, no. Because you've just killed every bit of positive momentum that you've had going for Dean Ambrose by turning him heel. Even a slow burn kills it.
You need something, though, because on the other side of the coin here, who do you get the title to? Who's a good heel in the WWE right now to feud with Reigns if he did have the belt? There is no one. They put everything on Rollins, and now everyone else is mid-card, average amount of wins and losses. No one looks dominant. You know, everyone's just fucking mediocrity.
Bring up Samoa Joe and elevate Kevin Owens as your top heel. Well, in the main event.
No, Owens is in perfect spot right now, mid-card.
Yeah,
you don't move him out of it. Here's the thing.
But
I like Omega's story. Mm-hmm. I like the story that Omega is telling. How about we flip the script? Fans are going to hate on Reigns anyway.
Yeah.
Why not use that and have Ambrose be the one that has to pull the trigger on Old Yeller?
You could do that too.
Because that's the thing. I'd buy that angle more coming from Dean Ambrose than being towards Dean Ambrose, if you get what I'm saying.
It would be more fitting to flip the script that way. I mean, it would, with the characters. Because the World Heavyweight title has been an obsession for Roman Reigns since last Royal Rumble. Right? All the way through to WrestleMania, where he got jobbed by Rollins, cashing in the Money in the Bank. Getting screwed out of the briefcase by Bray. Was it Bray? Yeah.
Yeah,
it was Bray.
Because that led to the whole last 4 months.
Which led to all of that shit. The obsession that we have seen Reigns play out has planted that seed of the dark side. So he's Anakin Skywalker, and Dean Ambrose is Luke, trying to turn him from the dark to the light. Did I just do that Star Wars comparison thing? Shit, I did.
It's one thing to say that, like, okay, yes, in the short term that makes more sense. But if we are in agreement, Roman Reigns is the golden boy they're going to push no matter what.
No.
No matter what, he's going to leave WrestleMania with the title. It has to be done with Dean.
Well, Chase has brought up a name out of left field that we should have given consideration to, who just won the U.S. title, the one and only Alberto Del Rio.
No, I gave him all the consideration he deserves.
Yeah, sorry. No, keep him mid-card again. Del Rio is great for short-time feuds. You don't want him holding that belt.
He's a perfect spot right now, and I will remind everybody, as champion, he was boring as fuck.
And he relinquished the title due to an injury, didn't he?
Yeah, he's just a couple of really random scenarios for you. Scenario one, keep the Survivor Series back on under the old booking. Right, not the one-night tournament. Why? Tomorrow night on Raw, you have the Authority come out to announce the tournament.
Yeah, well, you know what's going to happen.
Halfway through, Sheamus comes out. You know what? I'm going to cash in my money in the bank, but there's no champion.
Bingo.
Bingo. Champion is forfeit. Hand over the belt, please.
Here's the briefcase. Give me the title.
Imagine the heat from that.
Are you kidding? That would actually make me pay attention to Sheamus for a good 2 weeks as opposed to 2 minutes.
God.
No, that is brilliant booking if you think about it.
So Vacant would actually have a match.
Well, yeah, and since Vacant can't technically show up, then Vacant forfeits the match, belt goes to Sheamus.
Sheamus cashes in the title, forces the referee to perform a 10 count. Ding, ding. Ladies and gentlemen, your winner and new WWE World Heavyweight Champion, Sheamus.
But the title can't change on a count out.
technically can't change hands on a forfeit either.
Exactly.
But considering there is technically no champion.
Yeah, technically the champion is all supposed to defend every 30 days. So tell that to Nikki.
Yeah, exactly. So this would be the one time where you could say it's like through a legal loophole or a maneuver or something like that, the Sheamus cashes in and gets the belt. Like, that would be nuclear heat for this guy who, let's face it, is the brightest nightlight I've ever seen in my life.
I'm going to say something. Over in the UK, would he actually get that heat?
Oh, hell yes.
Okay.
An Irish world champion crowned on one of the UK shows? Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm just making sure it's all out there. Keep going.
All right. Scenario B. We go through with this tournament. Let's have it end in a double DQ or something. Something that does not crown a champion. You go into TLC. You have your final two guys from the tournament have to go up against each other again for the belt. Probably in a TLC match because, you know, pay-per-view, we've got to sell the gimmick. Once again, there's a screw job. Somebody gets involved, you know, do the old, you know, raise the belt so nobody up so high nobody can get it type deal. Once again, no champion crowned in December. Put the belt on the line in the Royal Rumble.
I never like when they do that.
It would
How
be
many times in the history...
Once.
Ric Flair.
Now, you're laying out scenarios, but what are these screw job after screw job doing to build up
anybody?
Anyone.
Basically,
it's a way to try and make something else more important. You know, okay, yeah, some guys will have to take a hit in the popularity. You know, do it with your more invincible guys with the crowd, like probably Ambrose and Reigns, you know. That way you can still have your old Yellow storyline. I actually like that. I would love to keep that in there somehow. But it's more to sort of make the Royal Rumble more than just this guy is going to WrestleMania. It's now, okay, after months of not having a champion, we really need to crown somebody. We're going to have a champion by the end of the Royal Rumble, come hell, high water, flash flood, friggin' nuclear apocalypse, whatever.
In today's day and age, that might be too long to leave it vacant, though.
Yeah, I know that it's one of those situations where, you know, you got to build over months and people's attention spans aren't going to get there. But for God's sake... After so long of the title, the World Heavyweight title seeming like a secondary belt because of John Cena and the US Open Challenge, this could be a way to restore some sort of importance to the belt. Have not just guys that are in the main event chasing the title, all of a sudden this title is open to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody and everybody. Hell, Cesaro has a chance of being World Heavyweight Champion. in a Royal Rumble scenario.
Okay.
God. Yeah. And then
it makes the belt seem like this thing that is about anybody can get and anything can happen.
In that storyline, it's actually possible for James Storm to be TNA and WWE champion at the same time.
Yes.
Okay. So you get to the Royal Rumble, but you're still not solving their main issue, creating a star.
You have 2 months to start building that star. You can even extend this out to WrestleMania itself and build over 4 months or 4 or 5 months.
Well, serious question. Who's the next person they're going to promote from NXT, and will that be accelerated because of all of this?
I don't expect anyone to be elevated from NXT till WrestleMania time.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much everyone's pretty firm in their spots right now, and no one's particularly ready for it. Like, the next ones you would call up would be, like, you know, the likes of Joe and Balor, but you would expect, like, Hideo Tommy to be there. By the, you know, in order to fill that up, him and Zayn was supposed to be on the main roster by now.
And
you
know, they're dealing with the same. They're dealing with a shoulder injury.
Yeah, they're dealing with the same problem that WWE main roster is having right now. Mm-hmm. There's too many guys injured to really sacrifice anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And as it is, I'm amazed they brought up Breeze.
But yeah,
to be honest, Breeze was, I guess, a favorable casualty of the whole. Rusev and Lana engagement being leaked. It was like, shit, we need to find a way to sort of keep the storyline rolling, but take Rusev out of the picture and insert somebody else. Who can we get? Ah, Tyler Breeze works.
Fortuitous accident.
All right, going back to Mace's idea. Who's the guy winning this in the end? Are you still going with Roman? Or if you're booking it, who are you putting in it?
To be honest, I probably pulled the trigger on Ambrose.
Okay.
I'd probably put the belt on Ambrose if we're doing the Royal Rumble scenario.
But then are you again building up Ambrose versus Reigns, since Reigns is the chosen one?
Yeah, I would, actually. Because, so like, I like your storyline, but I'm trying to find another way to go to it and extend it out to the payoff being at WrestleMania. Hey, you had a good idea. I'm not trying to argue with you for the first time in fucking months. Just fix it, would you?
That's one weird way of putting it.
Now, to throw the monkey wrench into this whole thing, what if they decide, hey, Undertaker, you want to be world champion? You
can win.
No.
And barely, it's a miracle we've gotten in for as many matches this year as we have.
No. If you're dead set on making sure that Roman Reigns is going to be your golden boy, not at Survivor Series, but come Royal Rumble, then you can put the title on Sheamus.
You'll be regretting that in 2 weeks if that happened.
Why? Because it's Sheamus, or because you've got some other insider information?
No, because it's Sheamus. He's a tag team guy now, holding a briefcase.
Okay. Putting the belt on Sheamus probably won't be any worse than it has been on Rollins, okay? Ratings aren't going to plummet to, like, you know, 1 point something. They're not going to hit TNA territory with Sheamus as world champ.
I'm not worried about ratings. I'm worrying about entertainment value.
Yeah. Sheamus winds up because he's a heel right now. He winds up in the back pocket of the Authority.
That's
the Authority
not,
does
not... The one
no,
thing,
take
the one
authority
thing,
out of everything.
The one
please.
Thing I am looking forward to out of this is getting the Authority out of the fucking world title storylines.
Oh, for Christ's sakes, you should know better than that by now. Not one of Stephanie and Triple H.
Well, keep in mind, they've completely depleted themselves from, like, any kind of, like, authority, like, any kind of figure that can actually go in the ring and do their dirty work for them. Like, Big Show's not affiliated with them anymore. Kane's fired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, JJ Security is still kayfabe injured forever.
And besides, Kane can't come back while he's currently kidnapped anyway.
Yeah. Well, he does have, we heard Bray. He doesn't have a soul right now.
Yeah.
It's very hard to be director of operations with no soul.
And that,
well, I don't know.
You've obviously never been in business.
And that's why Seth Rollins had a lot of trouble, because he thought Kane had a soul and he couldn't just take him over because he physics. He thought he had a soul, so he thought, okay, I need this much force. Nope, forgot, no soul. That's why I got hurt. It's Kane's fault.
It's all Kane's fault.
All Kane's fault.
There you go. All extremely damned interesting, and all we can do is wait till tomorrow to see how this all starts, because it's going to start tomorrow. But I will not be surprised if we see the belt wind up with Sheamus. That being said, everybody, we're going to take our final time out of the evening. You'll listen to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with more stuff.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Don't wanna G-S. Be a player. I don't wanna be playing no more.
I'm not a player, I just crush a lot.
Welcome back to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for sticking with us. Thanks for tuning in at least halfway through, even though you may have forgotten because of, I don't know, an Eagles football game.
Shut up. Shut up about the football game. Shut
What's
up.
The matter? Did they lose?
No, there's 12 seconds left. The Eagles are up 3.
Oh, so they're going to lose.
No, well, the refs have it anyway. Way with it.
Oh, don't blame the refs. It's a weak ass that blames the refs.
No, they called
who are they playing?
The Cowboys.
Oh, shit.
Oh, you better hope they win.
They called a bogus pass interference call. It's like, that wasn't pass interference. But, hey, it was on Dez Bryant, so it is pass interference.
God damn it. Drives a guy to drink. That was what was missing all night.
Was it?
Yeah, well, not really. Not just that. Other stuff. I'm not at liberty to discuss. But, oh well. Hey! Why don't we just do the all-time greatest?
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop-de-freaking-doo!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Raw vs. SmackDown 2005 versus the debut of The Undertaker. Omega, go.
Debut of Undertaker.
Why?
Debut of Undertaker.
Why?
Debut of Undertaker.
But why?
Because Undertaker. He wanted you to elaborate.
Yeah, give me like 2 seconds to watch this kick.
Because it's the debut of Undertaker versus a match made just to get SmackDown over and get people watching it, which of course it doesn't work.
SmackDown wins. No, he didn't.
SmackDown never wins. Let's be honest.
And the kick hits the post and bounces in. They're going to overtime. So, there you go. Mace, your thoughts?
Well, as much as I would like to go for Raw versus SmackDown because, let's face it, it was the return of The Undertaker and Randy Orton, you know, just going absolutely crazy in some of the best facial expressions I've seen off the guy in his whole career. I'm in no mood to argue with anybody anymore, so I'm just going to go debut of The Undertaker because history and legacy and all that shit rather than moment.
Tim, do you want to weigh
in? I thought it was a really good moment besides that, but okay.
Tim, do you want to weigh in on this one?
No. Undertaker.
Okay, then fine. You start with Bob Backlund wins the WWF title or the Montreal Screwjob. Go.
Bob Backlund winning the WWF championship. Why is that a big deal? It was like The Rock coming back and holding on to it.
Actually, hold on, before you continue, these are technically two Bret Hart screwjobs.
Technically two, because Bob Backlund is involved in the first one, which was actual legit storyline that Bret was involved with. And then the Montreal Screwjob, which is like, yeah, you screwed me. No, you screwed yourself. Yeah, but you screwed me. No, shut up, you guys. Get over it. It's the Montreal Screwjob.
Omega?
Yeah, that would be the Screwjob.
Yeah, the Screwjob that wins here is the Montreal one.
Yeah. That's too iconic of a moment.
Of a moment.
Moment.
All right, Mace, what do you got?
Absolutely no point at this stage.
But it still expresses your opinion.
It moves on, let's move on.
He's got a defeatist attitude.
Yes, he does.
Pretty much.
No, make your case for either one, if you actually had one.
No, I don't have a case for anything at the moment. This thing is pretty much... It is going to be pretty much decided in the next round between debut of The Undertaker versus Montreal Screwjob. Whatever wins, that is going to win the tournament. So let's just get on with it.
All right, so...
Come on this show, I try to have a little bit of fun.
You know, but some people are just defeated. But, you know, you control the vote. You don't have to pick Montreal Screwjob.
Here's a guy who plays with toys all day for a living, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
28 hours a day. And he's looking for a little fun. You're playing with the wrong toys.
How do you know?
Because you're looking for fun after playing with toys all day.
Anyway, next week is the semifinals of the all-time greatest. Right now, though, it's Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Since Facebook alerted me that today is the anniversary of Eddie Guerrero's final match, I asked a question to you and you three, because you're all getting the same one. What is your favorite Eddie Guerrero moment, Tim?
Oh, shit. You're making me pick just one?
Yeah, just one.
You're a prick, because there's so many.
Well, pick one.
I mean, if you're not cheating, if you're not trying Latino heat, the dirty whatchamacallits. His debut in WWF with everybody. His feud with Malenko. His feud with Benoit. Oh my god.
Yeah, I said pick one.
I know. I told you. Jesus Christ. The first time he won the title, the heavyweight, the WWE title.
And who did he beat that night?
Who did he beat that night? Oh, my God. Was it the Beast?
Could have been the Beast.
Dummy, what are you doing asking me that question?
I'm just making sure you remember.
My God. It was just the entire thing. And then he gets the win. And down come all of the crap from the ceiling. And he runs out, jumps, and he crowd surfs. And everybody's just going absolutely nuts and just loving the entire moment.
All right. Mace, what's your favorite Eddie Guerrero moment?
Well, my favorite Eddie Guerrero moment doesn't actually exist according to the WWE. So, in lieu of that, I will go to the one I'm allowed to say.
that time where he came out after the main event of WrestleMania and hugged nobody.
That
moment, I like that moment. The real version of that moment, but that doesn't exist anymore.
I got good news. We're not WWE. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's Benoit and Eddie embracing at the end of WrestleMania. It's like for that moment, you know, regardless of what you think of Benoit and how his life ended and all that shit. That moment in time was two best friends, two guys that I have watched since their days in ECW, coming up through WCW, moving to the WWE, working their butts to the bone in that company, to have them both win the two heavyweight championships that were around at that time. Well, Eddie retained that night. Chris won his, obviously. And that was just a real good cap on a really good WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Omega?
It's hard for me to pin down like a single moment just because there's so much of Eddie that entertained me. You know, I like the personality in the ring. You know, when Eddie throws a chair at somebody and then drops to the mat, it never got old. You know, and we see homages to it, like Kofi throwing the trombone, trying to get away with the same trick. Mm-hmm. You know, it just instantly brings back all those memories of, you know, the little stunts Eddie would pull. You know, talking about, you know, winning at WrestleMania 20, he did that because he untied his boot before Kurt could put on an ankle lock. That's brilliant. You know, it's little things like that that set him apart and made him just entertaining to watch. You know, and that started with his run with Chavo as Los Guerreros. You know, I love the vignettes they had. I love the lie, cheat, steal gimmick they were working because it was entertaining as hell.
He made Chavo relevant.
Alright, so I'll let you go with that. Alright, now, Tim, what is, to stay with the whole theme, Tim, what is your favorite Vicky Guerrero moment?
When she left.
Alright, Mace, what is your favorite Vicky Guerrero moment?
Come on, dig.
Give me 5 minutes and a Google search, please.
No.
Fuck. Omega, I'm stalling for your time. You know what? As screechingly ear-bleeding annoying as it was, eventually just how over she got two words. Excuse me! Hated it, and but at the same time, it was clip. Such a really good heel thing, and, yeah.
Finally, right. Somebody else said it, and we can replace my version.
No,
of it.
No, no, we're never going to replace your
version. No, no, no. We keep do yours.
Screw that. Do it.
No.
No. Oh, you douchebag, douchebag. Ow.
Excuse me.
I'm going to fucking kill you.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but then you mentioned it, so, you know. Again.
Excuse me.
Stop it.
All right, Omega.
One more time, just to be sure.
No.
All right, close off the page.
Now cut it out.
I closed off the website, so.
Good.
Omega, what is your favorite Chavo Guerrero moment?
Fuck you.
No, we'll go with Vicky Guerrero. No, because I heard you typing. I had to switch it up on you. No, Vicky Guerrero.
Switch it up.
Google. Craig. Oh, Jesus Christ. Like, even scanning through, I had a hard time.
Was it her love affair with Edge?
No.
The time she was maybe making out with the Big Show?
No. The early stuff, like, the early stuff when Eddie was still around wasn't bad, you know, like, you know, interfering with the Dominic on a pole match.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay, like, use that way with the stories a little bit more personal, that's fine. Like, there's moments. Like, give her credit. She kept up a villain persona for 7 damn years. It's not easy to do. Especially when your starting point is my husband died while he was an active competitor.
And then that's the only reason why I got the job.
She made the most of it, though. Like, I have to give her credit just on a, you know, just for the persona. I have to give her credit for that. And still kept it, like, still kept enough of the audience, you know, like, entertained that, you know, by the time it was her final night, and yeah, she went out in, like, another embarrassing, like, we're gonna throw Vicky in the mud because ha-ha type situation. She went into it as a face against Stephanie. And the crowd was way behind her. Like, you know, okay, 7 years of annoying excuse me's and, you know, ear-piercing promos. The crowd was invested enough to support her that night. Despite everything she had done, she was doing something right. Yes, you can make noise now. I'm defending Vicky Guerrero.
There was a crucial play in the game. Sorry. No, they said they fumbled the ball, though his knee was down, so, and they gave it to the Cowboys. Like, no, his knee's down. It you know. Football president, takes precedence over this show. Anyway, that'll be it for quick hits, Tim. Wrap it up.
That'll be it for the show. Let's drag it out long enough that he misses overtime. And can't pay full attention to it. What do you say?
Good night, everybody.
Turn it down, I'll do the plugs.
Remember, I can just turn the stream off.
Yeah, shut up. Okay, Monday night, tomorrow night, immediately following Ross and Raw Post Show, tune in 3 hours of Raw combat condensed into 45 minutes.
Yeah, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap it all for you.
Yeah, Thursday night, multi-time, multi-award winning The Rack radio show with your host, Lindsay Ward.
We'll talk NXT, we'll talk SmackDown, and so much more. It's Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. Rack radio show on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, rackradioshow.com, and follow Lindsay on Twitter, at Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, Saturday night, midnight issue, as close as I get to it. Another edition of CB Radio, where Rob kills somebody at least once a week.
And it's already started. Hashtag blame Rob.
Definitely. blame Rob, RIP, Letterface.
For whenever a celebrity dies, use hashtag blame Rob. Subway and Rob's expert NFL picks every week. And so much more. We are the wacky, the unusual CB Radio. CBRadioLive.com. Check us out on Twitter and Facebook at CB Radio Live as well.
There you go. Wild Talk Radio tweets. Follow at Wild Talk Radio. You can follow Wrestle Talk Radio on the Twitter as well.
At WTR Sunday Night.
That's exactly right. Join us on our Facebook and like our other Facebook. Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow me on the Twitter machine at Flames Forums. You can also check me out on Facebook at Facebook.com/Man Kitchen. Hey, speaking about Man Kitchen, you can email me at tim.stein@russelltalkradio.com to buy a cookbook that I wrote called From the Man Kitchen. This is legitimate. I'm not kidding.
You are. And to interrupt you, Eagles win. Ha ha. Cowboys lose. Ha ha.
Well, I was kind of sort of hoping they would both lose, but I don't see how that works. Anyway, yeah. So, like, legitimately get a hold of me, and I'll tell you how you can get your hands on a copy of From the Man Kitchen, tips, tricks, recipes, and more. And that being said, Mace has a Twitter thing, and he does WTR Games Garage, too, but I'll let him tell you.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at the Mace Thing. You can also find all my gaming-related nonsense at youtube.com/WTRGamesGarage and also over at theouterhaven.net. And pretty much I should have stuff up eventually if the weather is actually decent and I'm not sitting here drenched in my own fucking sweat like I am tonight. So pray that the weather is better.
Hey, Omega, you got shit going all over the internet.
Yeah.
Different really? Names, too. Sorry, I had to.
Yeesh. Yes, yes. For social media and Facebook, it is TJ Reviews. Everywhere else, it is TJ Omega, including Twitter, TJ Omega, TJOmega.org, as well as TJ Omega on YouTube, where there is new content 5 days a week, including 2 live streams a week.
There you
go. I keep busy.
You do. And I do believe we're done. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. Join us next week when we won't have Omega because he'll take the night off.
Because I'm busier next weekend.
Which is weird because you're, like, busy anyway.
Next week is the Survivor Series preview. And get us on TuneIn, Stitcher, and iTunes. Search Wild Talk Radio Network.
There you go. That being said, have yourselves a great week, everybody. Catch you next Sunday night at 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain.